Hey, Mama, welcome to Holistic Moms. I'm your host, Shan Wright. So, there are things that we go through, sometimes our own bad choices, and others are traumas that happen to us. And our guest today has had many traumas and now shares her story to help others in their healing journey. She shares how she mothers with her past and uses it to help her kids in their holistic wellness. If you have gone through anything in life, today's episode may just help you find that next right step. Kendra Nielsen is a therapist, podcaster, and founder of Fulfillment Therapy. With a passion for living to your fullest potential, Kendra guides individuals on a journey towards lasting happiness. Based in Idaho, she's a mom of four, wife to therapist Joel Nielsen, and an adventure-loving enthusiast. Kendra's own life experiences, from tragic losses to joyful pranks, inspire her commitment to living without regret. Through Fulfillment Therapy, she empowers others to prioritize personal growth, creating stronger, more fulfilled families. This is a great conversation I know you will get a lot out of. Here is my conversation with Kendra. Hey mama, are you stressed by the lack of time in the day to do all the things? Are you feeling disconnected from God, your husband, and even your kids because patience and presence seem out of reach? Do you want a healthier body, mind, spirit, and home, but overwhelmed in where to start? Hey, I'm Shan Wright, daughter of the king, wife, mom to four, RN, wellness coach, and I know very well what it feels like to want to live well, but about to lose it with my very blessed full life. After realizing I can't pour from an empty cup, I tracked my way to whole body wellness and so much peace. If you are ready to cancel the stressed out life, learn tactical, intentional strategies as a mom wearing many hats, find more peace, confidence, and joy raising kingdom kids, then listen in. Come on, mama, together we got this. Really, God's got this. So go heat up that coffee again and turn your listening ears on. Let's chat. Okay, welcome to Holistic Moms. I have a special guest today with me. So I have my friend Kendra. And Kendra, can you just say hello? And I'm so glad for you to be here today. Can you just welcome and just give a little bit about your family and where you come from?
Sure, of course. So I'm, as Shan said, I'm Kendra Nielsen. I am, well, originally from Wisconsin, but I am now living in Idaho. I have 4+ kids. It's always funny when I say that. I have foreign exchange students. So there's like rotating fifth child. So right now I have 5 children and I'm also married. So I'm a therapist and I'm married to a therapist. So we are very immersed in mental health in our home. So that's been fun for my kids, of course. I have currently, which is really weird for me to say out loud, I have currently 3 teenagers here with our exchange student. My oldest son just became a teenager. And then I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. And then my child that's oldest is going to be 17 pretty soon. So I feel like I'm in this later stage where I'm starting to have older kids when in my mind, I still have just a bunch of tiny kids. So that's kind of fun.
I feel like that's going to be me once I'm there. My oldest is going to be 11 next week. And I'm like, wow, we've passed the double digits now. We're definitely tween stage. And
oh, yeah.
I feel like in the second is going to be teen and I'm going to still feel like they're infants.
Oh, it's a real thing. And then especially when you start to realize how many summers they have left with you before they graduate, then it really puts it in perspective. Like even just with an 11-year-old, but that's really not that many summers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look at it like that,
mm-hmm.
Although being a stay-at-home mom, I don't ever think about just the summer, but
probably
it is something to think about. I feel like summer is just like a blink, like it's 2 months and it like goes so fast, but you mm-hmm. do get that special vacations and things, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wow. Growing up with 2 therapists as parents has got to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I would love to be a fly on the wall in your home.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of pressure to be exceptional parents, but my kids can attest that that is not always the case, sadly, but we're learning and we apologize a lot. So that's how we compensate. But yeah.
Yeah, that's really great to teach them. And then exchange students, which so now they're getting like all the mental knowledge they want, and then they're getting so much cultural knowledge. Like it's probably so
Right.
fun.
Oh, I love it. I think that I also wanted to be like an anthropologist and an archaeologist and kind of like all the things. I don't know. I'm just very, very curious. I'm like, okay, let's learn all of this. And I also want to, a big part of podcasting is I wanted to start doing this because, well, to help more people, but also to live all over the world and to have a job where I could just hop around. So eventually I can take my kids with me. Like we went and stayed, we lived in Costa Rica for a month as our first, like, let's try it out going somewhere for a month. What
Wow.
do you think? And I loved it. I did not want to come back. I was, what is that word? I mean, my kids won the argument and we had to come back, sadly, but hopefully I will win in the future. We will see. I don't know.
That's so fun. Wow. I definitely have those dreams out there to travel with my family, but I haven't even traveled that much, so I'm like, I need to go first before I take kids into those scenarios.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit as far as motherhood. Well, first off, let's go with the fact that you're a therapist. Do you talk to a lot of moms as far as being your clients, and what kind of therapy are you really doing?
Well, I do work. My favorite demographic is with moms, well, moms and dads, parents really, in that like mid 20 to mid 40 range. I really enjoy working with them and helping them through things because let's be honest, it is a really challenging stage. So, wait, I'm sorry. What was your question specifically about my clients?
So you work mostly with parents.
Exactly.
And I know your podcast is called Fulfillment Therapy. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. You asked about specifically like what I
So yeah, is that
focus
what
on.
you mostly talk about, fulfillment?
Yeah, so I kind of I don't want to say fell into that. That vision kind of got more clear as I went on. That purpose, my purpose, my calling, my mission, all of that kind of solidified over time. And now it's very clear that this is really what I want to focus on. And that really happened honestly through trauma when I really understood like my why. Like through my wounds, I really understood what it was I was most passionate about. And that is living without regret, taking advantage of this one life and finding greater fulfillment. Like I felt like I had been stuck for so long. I don't know if you've ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay, so at the bottom of that pyramid is like those basic needs. So that's physiological needs like shelter and food and water. And then just right above that, there's safety needs. And then there's love and belonging and even esteem. And so you're slowly moving up that pyramid. And what I found was so many of my clients were just in this survival stage, just like barely hanging on, or even social workers often, I feel like, just help with that very baseline, that food, water, shelter. But I really found myself drawn to those people that really wanted to get to the top of that pyramid, which is reaching your highest potential, becoming your best self, really growing and striving. Like, I love that part. And those are the clients that I navigate towards and that I want to work with more, if that makes.
Yes, that speaks my language completely. That's how I am. That's what I want to talk to is I want to talk to the mom who actually wants to be intentional with her wellness. She knows that there's so much there for her. She really believes the verse that God has abundantly planned things for her, and she wants to find out what they are, and she wants to live in her wellness to do that. I speak to that person a lot, and I know that, and I resonate with that. So you said you actually that you came to that through overcoming trauma. And
Right.
I like to talk a lot on my podcast about walking forward in the face of fear, taking courage
to overcome these things and overcome even just the daily overwhelm. So we have trauma and then we have just the daily overwhelm, but all of it takes an amount of courage, some courage. And so you had some trauma, and what did you, can you talk to what you specifically did? You can share the trauma if you want, however you want to share it, but what did you specifically do to overcome it and now share your story in some way to help others?
Right. Well, first off, I'm a therapist, so you can ask anything. Nothing's off the table. I'm very comfortable sharing my story. And there's so many elements to that. I guess I'll start with the first one. My dad died pretty tragically when I was just 5, and he was missing for a week. It was this big, terrible ordeal. And actually, it wasn't quite a week. He was missing for a while, though. And I remember the police coming to our door. I remember that search. I remember all the questions in our small community. And that those first real memories in my mind were pretty tragic and traumatic, obviously. And that kind of set the stage in some ways. And so a lot of the trauma that followed afterwards, I've since learned that when people are hurting and when there has been big trauma, they really do in some ways become these trauma magnets. So after that, there was like abuse, different things that had happened through different avenues that I don't think would normally have happened had our family not been in major turmoil. And it's just the way that kind of felt. So there was sexual abuse. There's a lot of different elements that happened during that time. And I did work through those over time through therapy. And I mean, I had a very loving mother and I did have a big family. My siblings were very supportive and loving in a lot of ways. But it was hard. Like my stepdad was pretty challenging. That was difficult for a while. But then also even past that, because of that same trauma, when my dad went missing, my mom found out that she was pregnant with her seventh child. And so she that all happened once we found out that he died, all those things. And just for brevity purposes, my youngest sibling, would love him, such a good person. But a few years ago, he also died young as well, because of addiction. And that was somewhat tied to how my dad died as well. So just really seeing firsthand the people that I love the most dying tragically and unexpectedly because of addiction or different things. And that really stirred in me this desire to live fully, to embrace life, to work through our problems as much as we can, because they will spread. I talk a lot about positive ripples, but there's also negative ripples. There's so many ways that it can hurt future generations if we don't work through our own things. So I was very committed to work through it. So when I went to school, I was like, I've got to figure this out. So all through both of my degrees, I took advantage of free counseling and I did as much as I could. I did a lot of trauma therapy. I did a lot of just talk therapy in general. And that really helped. But I think there's a lot of things. Like you speak to holistic health and throughout, I think since I was 16, I've been working out regularly. So I tell people that's my antidepressant. Like if I don't have exercise, I don't function very well. Same with, I'm very religious. I try to be very spiritual. So I have a very consistent routine with both of those. I read scriptures every day. I pray every day. I exercise every day. And I really try to become a creator, do things that will help and inspire others, and in the process will help me. Because through all of this, I want it to be very clear that I have so many faults, and I have to do those things that will improve my life because I mess up all the time, and I do not want to harm my kids and my relationship with my husband. But part of the human experience is that you do all the time. So it's just trying again and trying again and returning and repenting. Some people have a hard time with that word, so I prefer to call it returning, like trying again, you know? And
Yeah.
that's essentially like, those are the probably some of the biggest things that I've done. Get educated and stay committed to something bigger than myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, first off, so sorry you had such a traumatic life. Those two things, and they were like spaced out from each other. And so it's like one trauma is enough for someone. So, my apologies, just my condolences. Also, it sounds like when you go through a trauma, you, like you said, there were steps. And I think sometimes we get, it might not be a trauma, it might just be, you know, a situation. And we get overwhelmed by it, and we're like, we can't see the next step. We can't see just the thing in front of us to do. And it sounds like for you, even though a trauma is very overwhelming in all the ways, you were able to, at whatever age you were, take that next step. You did therapy, that's one step. And you were in that, and you healed some areas, and you found inner healing. And then you went to another step, and you learned these things that if I give back to others, that helps me mentally in my mental wellness. If I move my body, that helps me with my mood and my hormones and everything else that's my antidepressant. Like, you've learned these things. And I just kind of wanted to just like point that out for our listeners that there is a next right step, and it can be a baby step. It can feel huge to you, but just do one thing. Just do one thing, and then you're going to find your next thing that you do, because you know, that's helped you, and you've learned a lot through it, and you've grown through it, and you've healed through it. So then do the next thing, and then the next thing, and God will point these out to you. You don't have to go like searching and be overwhelmed by that. Just go to God and ask Him, God, what is my next step in this situation? And like I said, it can be a trauma. It can be something very small. It on the spectrum, no matter where you are, He knows the next step for you and your situation. So,
Absolutely. That
yeah.
actually, can I speak to that for a second?
Yes.
That reminds me a lot of what I tell my podcast listeners as well about those baby steps. And I love, well, several of them. There's Atomic Habits and Tiny Habits, but James Clear wrote
Yeah.
Atomic Habits, and he talked about that 1%. And I just love that. And I always go back to that over and over again. Like that, if you improve 1% each day, that's 27 times better at the end of the year. And that is so big, but we're talking about like micro adjustments, these tiny, tiny shifts. And I picture it just like you talked about this, that next step. I picture it as these stones that are lit up in front of me, like literally glowing. So often, I don't ever see three or four or five steps, even though I am a planner. I have like a mission. I am focused. But even still, I have like sometimes two. But I never have 10. But it's so interesting when I just take that one step and then the next step every single time. I'm like, I feel like I'm in this river and it's dark all around me, but the stones that I'm standing on are glowing. And I take that next step and I'm like, well, there's nowhere else to go. Like, I can't even go back now. Like, what do I do? And every single time that faith aspect, that faith principle, that next stone rises up and shines. And it's like, oh, this makes so much sense, but I never would have known had I not taken that next step on that pathway. So it is that
Yeah.
leaning into it that I love and I really believe in. So thanks for speaking to that.
Yeah, and I love that, because my word of the year is vision. And so I've been not only tapping into whatever vision God wants to give me, but also learning just about vision and dreams and seeing and looking and seeking. And that, to have a visual, it helps us so much. So if you're in this spot and you're like, gosh, I don't know the next step, maybe your vision is like Kendra just spoke to your vision, and you can close your eyes and picture that and go in your mind's eye and find that vision. Maybe it's the lit up stones, but maybe it's another vision God wants to give you. Ask Him for for a vision to show you what the next step is. So there's, I mean, tons of scriptures about, as I've been learning this, tons about vision and seeing. And it really solidifies it in our heart and gives us that direction. So if you don't know where you're going, you don't know the next step, ask God for a vision. And it could be Kendra's. That was so pretty. Like in my head, I'm like, wow, that's so peaceful and pretty, but also takes courage to step on that next glowing stone. So I love that vision.
Thank you.
Hey, Mama, real quick, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. That's me. Yes. If you need help taking that next step in your holistic wellness and healing journey, then perhaps my newly launched wellness accountability coaching is the next best step for you. My experience in holistic nursing, my own traumas and anxiety has led me into helping other moms in theirs. Sometimes we have the intentions to want to heal and the idea of the next thing to do, but accountability is the missing part. I believe it's the secret sauce. This is what I do. Through identity work, belief reprogramming, and holistic wellness audits, we will discover the next intentional action, and I will hold you to them. And with that, you are 95% on the path to success. Partner with me in your wellness journey and transformation because I want to partner with you. Go to bit.ly/ShanWright, right with a W, to book your session today. Take courage in that baby step today. Come on, Mama, let's go to battle.
Okay, so as you have kind of, fallen into your life's purpose due to just what happened to you and these circumstances, and you kind of grabbed a hold of it and made fulfillment and purpose in all of that. I would like you to speak to the phrase, if you will, because I know like fulfillment is your word. So speak to the phrase, and I don't know what you're going to actually say to this, but I hear a lot, motherhood is my purpose and I am fulfilled as a mom and I get all my fulfillment out of motherhood. So what do you speak to those kind of phrases?
Okay. This may not be what you're expecting.
I don't even know.
Okay. Well, part of the reason that, so my platform is I very much speak to my demographic as parents and strengthening families through personal growth. And the reason I do that is, well, let's go back to my childhood for a little bit. I watched for, I think 12 years that my mom was married to my stepdad. And really, she said since then that he was one of the only people, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on air, but I will, I'll risk it. That he was really one of the only people that was willing, the only man that was willing to marry somebody with seven kids. And I imagine that dating pool was really small. So she couldn't really be choosy. And for better or for worse, she married this man. I imagine she was very lonely. I really can't imagine how hard that was. Mm-hmm. But over time, like at first it was okay, but over time I watched because of his own very horrific trauma, and my heart goes out to him now that I understand the story. But he pointed fingers a lot of blame to other people. Well, like you did this, you did this. And it never sat right with me. Like, it just was always someone else's fault, it felt like. Like, it just seemed so unhappy. And I did not want that to be me. So now fast forward to the future, I'm a parent, and I prayed that I would be a good parent. I had no idea. We're all experimenting somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was marriage and parenting are the refiner's fire. They're the hardest thing I've ever, ever had to do. So when people tell me that it's so fulfilling and they love it more than anything, I think, what is wrong with me? Am I really damaged? Like, why is this so hard for me? And I love it and I would never, ever have it any other way. And it is refining me more than anything else. Like, if I just hung out with friends all day and I was just a bachelorette, life would be pretty easy in some ways. Like, yes, it would be lonely, but those rough edges are not being rubbed off with people constantly giving you feedback of what you need to change, or just seeing how your actions affect other people. Like, there is something to being in very close proximity with loved ones that are constantly correcting you. It's hard. It is so hard. So when I speak to fulfillment and all of these things, this is more about like the big picture. Like, I cannot imagine eternity without a family. I cannot imagine all the things that I want to do without those key things in place. But when it comes to my clients as well, like, it's hard work, but that doesn't mean that it's not fulfilling, because this is how we reach our true potential. Our full potential is by being parents, by being spouses, by doing these things that will help us become our best self. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I answer your question? I don't know if I went about that in a really weird way, but.
No, you did. I still wonder what if it would differ, your answer would differ if someone said, motherhood is my life's purpose.
Like, what would I say to them?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's amazing for you, because we all have different values. We all have things, because I do value them, but it's still really challenging for me. And if they're like, no, this is my everything, I would actually, in most cases with most of my clients, I find that if it's their everything, there's something else amiss. There's something off in their holistic journey that needs to be addressed. Because a lot of times when that's their entire life, there's other parts of the wellness wheel. Like, I give them an assessment to see how they're doing holistically. And often they have no hobbies. They have no sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that differentiation. There's enmeshment. And I know I'm using a lot of psychological jargon here, but the gist of it is they're so, I'm trying not to use jargon. They're so focused on their family sometimes that it can be detrimental. They've lost who they are, and they have stopped reaching for their fullest potential, their greatest potential, because they're only focused on their kids. Like, there has to be that balance, because it's also healthy for your family.
Yeah. So that's kind of mainly under the thought that I am when I hear moms say this, they also kind of say, you know, I am fulfilled. I am complete. I have these children. I am a mom. I'm good. And
right.
Then it's kind of like the future, the vision, the dreams are kind of, they're all geared towards the kids. So they have dreams for their kids, but they don't have any more dreams for themselves, or like, there's not purpose beyond the kids going off and moving out of the house. It's like, oh no, like, that's going to be the worst time of my life. And like, it just is evident that this is weird, but back to my vision word for the year. And when God gave me that, it was like, we hear this cliche statement of, God should be first, then family, then your work or your life's purpose or your job, what you do, but God should be first and then family. And it was actually a convicting thing for me because, and I kind of already shared this on the podcast before, but when I first heard of this, I had just gotten married and I was like, wait, God's supposed to be above my husband. Well, yes, that sounds nice, but how does that look practically? What do I do? I am cooking for him. I'm cleaning. I want to be the best wife. I'm going to do all these things for him. Obviously I'm spending a lot of time with him. So how does this look? And then, as I'm a mom, I'm convicted sometimes of just the flip-flop of the order. And like, my job sometimes can look like it's above even God or my family because it's a to-do list. I'm checking things off. I'm getting things done. I'm spending a lot of time with those things. And it's like, well, how much time did you spend with God today? How much time did you actually spend with your kids today? How much time did you talk to your husband? So it was like just a conviction and like a realization moment of, I want vision for all of these areas. I want to make sure that My heart is directed in these areas, in the right ways. And when I do that, it's when I hear motherhood is like my complete purpose, and that's what I was put on this earth to do. That's how, what God made me to do. I always kind of have that thought like, but I think you're missing something, because He has exceedingly abundantly things planned for us. So if it was motherhood, that's your role and you're playing an amazing role and you've been given these very special kids and all of that. But I think His dreams and plans are way more than we can imagine. So to tap into that and lean into that and say, you know, and also, gosh, tragedy, right? Like my mom lost a child. We just celebrated her birthday yesterday. She died at 42, and you lost a brother. Like, when, what if you only had one child and you lose that child? Is your purpose gone? The reason God made you, is that gone? No. So that's why I kind of like, when I hear that, I'm like, I just think we need to recognize that God's thoughts, dreams, and visions for our lives are way beyond we could think, and to not settle for just the thought that motherhood is our complete fulfillment.
Right. Absolutely. And I do want to say, speaking that to that as well, a lot of my clients are stay-at-home moms, and it's so much to go into in one short episode, but essentially, especially religious mothers that are stay-at-home moms, they are often very depressed. And I love religion. I love spirituality, all of these things. And there is sometimes this aspect, this cultural aspect, that's challenging. And I think it's this belief that they have to abandon themselves so much that there's this level of depression that arises. And I think, let's see if I can explain this well. I don't think it's somewhat of a paradox. I don't think they negate each other. Like, you have to do everything for your family, and then just your leftovers can be for your purpose, your mission, your calling beyond that. Like, I think they're very much tied together a lot of times. And I had that same fear as a young mom. So I think I did too much, like almost this level of pride, like, look at me, I'm such a good mom. I'm not going to do anything else really, because I'm almost like this holier than thou attitude a little bit. And now that I look back, and now that I am working more, and it doesn't have to be a job, it can be hobbies, it can be whatever it is, like volunteer
Surfing,
work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any of those things. But I have found that when I work with these women, when they, it's really hard for them, but when they discover a passion or even a hobby or something for themselves apart from their family, they become such a better mother, a better wife, because there's something more in them. They're creating something that contributes also to that happiness in the home. And there's just so many layers I can't get into all here. But again, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think that we can simultaneously, and should be, really, we're talking about our gifts here. We're letting our light shine. Actually, do you mind if I share one of my favorite quotes as I...
Please.
Okay, so this is by Marianne Williamson, and I'm just going to paraphrase some of it, but she said, I know you've heard it before. She said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world," and I'm going to insert here, "or your family. We are all meant to shine. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." And so what I tell my clients, that's the end of the quote, what I tell my clients is, what you're doing right now by completely self-sacrificing and growing in depression and anxiety, is that what you would want for your children when they're grown up? And every time they say, of course not. Like, okay, well, then why is it wrong for you to explore hobbies or to find a passion or to do things outside of a 24/7 job with your family? Like, this is not serving you or your family. And I know that there's extreme examples, but does that make sense? I'm sure you've met some women that think it has to be all or none kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, I love that quote. And I have not heard that in a very long time. But what I made me think of is this week, we, in a conversation, we were talking about letting your light shine. And someone said that their pastor actually was talking about that on Sunday at church and said, Jesus is the light. God is the light. And so we don't have our own light to shine if he is shining through us. Yeah. And how do you get that light? Well, you go close to the light. You stay close to the light. You abide in the light. You're in the light. And so I just love that, because it's like she's speaking to letting your light shine, this little light of mine, but you have to be in the light and God is light. So anyway, I just immediately thought of that as you brought that up. And he made us so, he made each person a masterpiece to shine his light through. And why not just step into that? Why would it be someone else and not you?
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good spot just to close out. I want our listeners just to like really go back, rewind, listen to that quote again, and listen to how, and just really reflect and think about how you can shine in your life and in motherhood, as a wife, as a friend, and all of you, not just holistically, not just in motherhood in general. But Kendra, thank you so much for all your wisdom and sharing everything with us today and your encouragement. I think you shared so much encouragement for our moms out there that that I know they're going to find in this episode. And can you just share where they can find you?
Of course. So fulfillmenttherapy.org is my main platform, but also on Instagram and Fulfillment Therapy Podcasts. So it has all of my things and all the show notes. And I don't know if you're going to put this on your show notes as well. But yeah, I'm kind of everywhere right now, and I'll be more places in the next 6 months. So you can find all of that in her show notes, but also fulfillmenttherapy.org especially.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. It was very fun, and I loved meeting you and getting to know you a little bit better as well.
Hey, Wellness Warrior, I pray that blessed you. And if so, it would bless me big if you would write a 5-star review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Not only would this make me super happy, but it will allow for others to find this show too. Also, I love to chat over on Instagram, so make sure to take a screenshot, share to your Instagram stories, and tag me at @TheShanWright. So I can see it and we can keep chatting and bring other moms to chat with us. Until we get to chat again, mama friend, may the Lord's face shine upon you and give you peace. Hey, Mama, welcome to Holistic Moms. I'm your host, Shan Wright. So there are things that we go through sometimes our own bad choices and others are traumas that happen to us. And our guest today has had many traumas and now shares her story to help others in their healing journey. She shares how she mothers with her past and uses it to help her kids in their holistic wellness. If you have gone through anything in life, today's episode may just help you find that next right step. Kendra Nielsen is a therapist, podcaster, and founder of Fulfillment Therapy. With a passion for living to your fullest potential, Kendra guides individuals on a journey towards lasting happiness. Based in Idaho, she's a mom of four, wife to therapist Joel Nielsen, and an adventure-loving enthusiast. Kendra's own life experiences, from tragic losses to joyful pranks, inspire her commitment to living without regret. Through Fulfillment Therapy, she empowers others to prioritize personal growth, creating stronger, more fulfilled families. This is a great conversation. I know you will get a lot out of. Here is my conversation with Kendra.